Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on a getaway Friday, February the 11th, 2022. 15 minutes past the hour, and we are going to have a great day here on WWGH Radio. Boy, what a difference a week can make. A week ago today, last Friday, we all woke up. The roads were a mess. We were under a level 3 snow emergency. And this morning, you wake up, and it's nice and bright outside. The roads are all navigatable. Probably more than half the snow has melted. The walkways are clear. The roads are clear. The driveways are clear. What a difference 7 days can make here in the Midwest. Now, I have two things I want to greet you with this morning. Because if you listen to this show, there are two ongoing pet peeves that we have. And one came at the end of yesterday's show, and I want to make sure I address it again here. And the other one is just a longtime pet peeve. Now, as many of you know, for many weeks, and I think it started probably at the last studio, I would come in the morning and I would notice that somebody has messed with my microphone or had messed with my microphone. And I don't know why this happens. It could be some people fool around with the knobs because they think they're not sounding right, or somebody happens to bump the knob. A lot of things can happen, and I'm not saying anybody was doing it on purpose. Well, I have remedied that problem because this week, for whatever reason, I have had more microphone trouble than in past weeks. So, now on the board, I found where the microphone was at the right sound, and I have taken duct tape, which is called gaffer tape in the broadcasting business. We use it to fix everything. Well, I saw that gaffer tape laying there this morning, and I said to myself, I am going to fix this sound problem, this microphone problem. So, over the knob, Not the slider, for people who know what a soundboard looks like. You can still slide up and down the sound. See, I can go way down here or way back up here. You can still adjust the sound there, which is what you're supposed to do. But there is a general sound knob, which controls the whole section of the board for that particular microphone. And that's the knob that was always being messed with. Well, now that knob has duct tape all over it. It is duct taped to the right position. I know this because I'm coming through loud and clear right now through the headphones. And this problem cannot be messed up again unless somebody would pull this tape off, and I would notice that. So the problem should be fixed once and for all. Now, how am I sounding out there this morning? Is this the level we want to be at? 740-383-9944. And, you know, it's not the prettiest thing in the world to have that piece of duct tape on the board, but it solves this problem once and for all, and everybody will sound good. The other day, Linda had a guest on, a very interesting guest, but I could barely hear her, and I think what happened was somebody had bumped that knob throughout the course of the day, or something had happened, the knob had gotten turned, and you just could barely hear Linda. So we don't want those kind of problems anymore. It should be fixed now. There is a piece of gaffer tape over that particular knob, so we should not have those problems. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. How am I sounding this morning out there in Radio Land? This should be how all shows sound. And then, of course, we've had the problem as of late with Adam. People not being able to hear him or whatever the problem is there. We know now it will not be with the microphone because there is a piece of gaffer duct tape over that particular knob. Go ahead, caller.
Well, I'll call in and say you sound good, and the Pleasant Township area. It is such a beautiful morning, and the temperature is kind of getting nice the way we like to feel it, huh, Scott?
Yeah, well, you know what I thought? Last week I was sitting in my house. I couldn't get down the end of the road. It was cold. The snow was piled up, but this morning couldn't be better.
Yeah. Hey, Scott, while I give this, and I just want to make a couple comments, and then I'll be a listener, but, you know, where was the very first time that you cracked the mic on air in the Marion, in your capacity of having a radio station?
The first time I was ever on the air,
the morning you cracked the mic in the year and the month, can you remember that?
I believe, if I'm correct about this, I believe it was December of 2002, I think.
Okay, and your location?
At that time, I was at WMRN.
Okay, that's where I kind of fail, and I think that I'm very proud of being able to say this and the open door policy that you've had all your career in the Marion area, announcing over the your WWGH, that I have talked to you, and it's been a pleasure doing that, but I couldn't figure out the very first place you cracked the mic that done that. All the rest of the facilities, like I say, being able to go and see you, I think I've been to every one of them.
I think so, and it's interesting because now that I think about it, this December will actually be 20 years.
Okay. Well, thank you, Scott, for that. I tell you, it seems like when you say 7 or 8 years, I thought, man, that might be about right. And I thought back, and I thought, man, it's been longer than that, but track of time now. But here's another little thing I just throw at you, and maybe the rest of the listeners and people see what they think about this. Every time Mary Ellen Withrow's on, she's always got to answer the questions. Well, that's fine. But I was wondering if we could have a little something like, and as well as you know her, and well, she cooperates, but she's going to be a busy time now with maybe going up to the society there where she's going to have her museum. But you can ask Mary, and just ask her, if people like myself can call in, and maybe you can be the head of that, and ask questions that you can write down, and then maybe give them back to Mary Ellen Withrow, where she can evaluate the questions, and you have her on sometimes, and about the currency, like from the penny to the 50-cent piece. Well, the 50-cent piece, we don't eyeball that anymore, and from the dollar up to maybe I can remember the dollar pretty good, but the rest of the currency, you know, the 5, 10s, and 20s, and so on and so forth. I've never seen one, a $500 bill, and I think there was maybe a $1,000 bill. But I like to have her back on again where she just answers the questions while we listen about the difference in the silver aspect of coins. That went back quite a while, but and the currency, you know. It'd be an interesting program, but yet it'd give Mary Ellen Withrow time to look over, and she wouldn't have to answer all of them in. It'd be like a drawing, and maybe that would be a kind of interesting thing, and listeners would like to hear.
I will do that. Hey, thanks, Ted.
Welcome. Bye.
Bye-bye. Yeah, I'll ask Mary Ellen about that. It seems to me, you know, honestly, a lot of people remember the first time they were on a microphone or on the air, and it seems to me that 2002 is right, but I'll try to check on that. It's one of those things that just kind of happened by accident. Sometime I'll tell that story of how I ended up on the radio, but it's one of those things that happened by accident, so it doesn't ring out in my mind. It's not like I went to the radio station looking for a job, so it's kind of different to remember the year. But hopefully we're sounding good, and as I said, now the spot on the dial is duct taped to the right sound, hopefully. 740-383-9944 if there's anything you'd like to say. Now, the other issue that is long-standing here, part of our little housekeeping issue here this morning at the station, is the prize policy. Now, here is this, I don't know how this has gotten so bent out of shape, but here is what happened. This station has always had a prize policy because the first year we were on the air, we started giving away prizes, and we noticed that a lot of the same people were winning, and we thought, well, that's not fair to a lot of people who can't get in call-wise. So we invented a prize policy, which we had for probably close to 6 years. And the prize policy was simple. We ran it every hour. You could win once every 30 days. You had 10 days to pick up your prize. 10 days that the studio was open, not counting the weekend. You had 10 days to pick up your prize. And you had to tell the rules of the game before you started the contest. That was pretty well the prize policy for 6 years at this station. And there was never a problem. Never an issue. Never a problem. It was fine. Well, then the pandemic came. And when the pandemic came, we stopped doing prizes because we were not allowing people into the studio to pick them up. So, we pretty well did away with prizes altogether and the prize policy. So, on this station, during that time, we basically had no prize policy and we didn't give away any prizes. Well, last summer, we kind of got back into the idea of giving away prizes. Well, we'd never put a prize policy back in place because everything was working okay and there didn't seem to be any trouble. But we started to have trouble in the last month because essentially what had happened, and again, nobody was angry. The listeners are always very nice when they come in to pick up their gifts, but we had a couple of issues where the rules of the game were not being given at the start of the game, and we also had an issue where somebody said the 30-day prize policy was still in place, and really, it wasn't. It hasn't been in place since March of 2020, pretty much. And the other issue was somebody heard or did not hear that they had won, but they heard it on a repeat, and they came to pick it up. Well, the prize wasn't here. So that started to become a problem. Now again, nobody was angry, nobody was complaining, but these are problems you don't want to have because 90% of the time, the person you're asking questions about these prizes to is not the person who gave the prize. So, I can't remember if it was earlier this week or last week, I said we're going to have to put the prize policy back in place because we're having trouble. And essentially, the prize policy is what I just said. If you win, you can only do that once every 30 days. The rules of the game have to be given before the game starts, and you have 10 days to pick up your prize. Okay, prize policy back in place, everything hunky-dory. And by the way, if you don't pick up your prize, it doesn't count as a win. We can't do that either when we have multiple shows giving away prizes. So if you have a prize sitting here that, say, you don't know that you have won, there's really no way to tell you because we're not going to call everybody to tell them they have won a prize because we don't write down everybody's phone number. So if you have not picked up your prize, that's not counted as a win. Now, you can't come in and pick up two prizes at once, but if you haven't picked up your prize, that's not a win. So, I thought, okay, everything's fine. We'll all go down the road and everything will be fine. Well, apparently somebody called into Nate's show the other night and relayed this prize policy, and there was some kind of conjecture. Well, Nate has been doing his show since, I think, 2018 is when he started doing his show. So about 3 years now. He's been doing the show here at the station. or 2019. I think maybe 2019 he started. I can't remember. 18 or 19. So 3 or 4 years he's been doing his show here at the station, and he's always given away a prize. Now, Nate mails his prizes to the winner. Now, that started during the pandemic, too. He did not used to mail his prizes. He used to leave them in the studio for pickup. But when we did away with pickups, he obviously could not do that anymore. So that's when the mailing of prizes started on Nate's show. So if Nate mails his prizes to the winner, that's fine. I mean, there's no problem there at all. And that also eliminates the problem of the person coming in to get the prize or knowing that they have won because it's mailed to them. Now, we cannot do that on other shows because a lot of times we give away 3 or 4 prizes during a show. And also a lot of times the prize, like tickets to a show, you would need to get those sooner than what the mail would allow. And also, a lot of times we have people call in and win, and I don't want to call them back and ask them what their phone number or address is, because I'm sure they don't want to give their address over the air, and I'm not even sure where they would be when I announce they would win the prize. So that's why we don't mail prizes on other shows, but Nate mails a prize. He only has to mail one prize a week, and that's fine. That it's a good way to do it. So, there's no issue on Nate's show with the prize policy that I can see. So, I'm not sure what happened the other night on Nate's show that is confusing. I don't think Nate would have a problem. Nate and I have never had a disagreement on anything. He was here when we had the old prize policy. So, I'm not really sure what the problem was, but there's the prize policy. And again, you can only win once every 30 days, but there are occasions where you can win more than once every 30 days if the host says, and Charlie used to do this a lot, I have done this before, if we have a prize that's out of the ordinary and we say, hey, the 30-day policy doesn't matter with this one because we're doing it as a drawing, well, then the 30-day prize policy doesn't matter. And Nate's show, I think, is pretty well done on a drawing basis. I think he gives one prize away a week, and it's done with a drawing. So I'm not really sure what the issue would be. I can't imagine there would be one, but that's that. So does anybody have any questions on the prize policy before we move away from that piece of housekeeping into something a little more fun? 740-383-9944. Also, does anybody have a problem with this prize policy? Because you are the listeners, and you guys deal with the prize policy more than I do. And I want to make sure that you are all happy with this policy. So does anybody have any complaints at this particular point? But I don't think anything's going to change on Nate's show. I think he's pretty well been doing what he's been doing for 3 or 4 years. And every other show on the station will abide by the prize policy that we have had for almost 8 years now. Any questions? 740-383-9944. All right, so the microphone, the tape on the microphone knob, and the trivia rules are all out there now. So those are the two bits of housekeeping I wanted to do. And I did want to mention the weather this morning, just to say what a difference a week can make in the weather. Now, I do have a couple things that I've noticed in the last, really, day that have caught my eye, and I want to know what your opinion is on these things. Now, the first thing is the Marion Cemetery. Now, does anybody notice that the Marion Cemetery always seems to have some kind of sale going on? Like right now, they have a banner out there, largest selection of monuments, that sort of thing. And for a long time, they had the buy one, get one free plots. Here's why this catches my eye. I would think the Marion Cemetery is probably one of the most popular cemeteries in Marion. It's where a lot of people are buried in Marion. It's the cemetery where President Harding is. I would think that's a very popular cemetery. And yet, they run sales all the time. Now, St. Mary's, which is just across the street, I've never seen a banner over there or any kind of sale going on. And I have to admit, none of my family is buried in the Marion Cemetery. All of my dad's family, more or less, are in Caledonia. And all of my mom's family, more or less, are at Brush Ridge. And to be honest with you, going in those cemeteries from time to time, I have never seen a sign advertising a sale in at Caledonia or Brush Ridge, and or at the Clarendon Cemetery. I've never seen really a banner out there where people are advertising discounts, so on and so forth. Does anybody know why the Marion Cemetery does that? And it's a nice thing that they do it. I mean, we all like a good deal, but is there some reason? Are not a lot of people getting buried in Marion? Do they have a lot of open plots? Because I would think a cemetery would be a tough thing, because you only have so much room. And once you run out of that room, you're pretty well stuck. I don't know what happens when a cemetery runs out of room. Do they just go into perpetual care at that point? Because if you buy your plot and you buy your headstone and you don't have perpetual care, how does that cemetery continue to make money? Do they just put the money back, and that's how they operate when they have no more plots to sell? Or do they have to buy area around the cemetery to try to extend so they can have more plots? I don't know. These are curious questions to me. Does anybody know why the Marion Cemetery does run those sales? Or does anybody know what happens when a cemetery does run out of plots? 740-383-9944. And to be honest with you, when I listen to the obituary report, which is always running when I come in the morning, most people are not buried in Marion. I very rarely hear the Marion Cemetery, and I'm not sure why that is. Go ahead, caller.
Scott, wouldn't you think that the cremation series going on now would affect that monument and stuff? Like, you know, the price-wise and everything, and they got, that's an income, and a big income for the cemetery to operate and maintain it. Wouldn't you think that would have a big factor?
Well, you know, it's an interesting question, because cremation is an interesting question to me all around, but I just am kind of curious why Brush Ridge and Clarendon and Caledonia and St. Mary's don't seem to be running the specials. The only place I ever see those banners are at the Marion Cemetery.
Oh, okay. Okay, I understand yours if you don't notice them anywhere up. In your travels, you travel more around now than I have, but I used to visit all the cemeteries because different relations and friends were buried in them, and we'd frequent them. But, okay, I see your point. You're noticing it more in Marion Cemetery than any other place in the surrounding counties and
yeah,
stuff.
But, you know, cremation is interesting because I wonder, do people... Because I've seen it both ways. Some people keep the remains of the person at the house, but then some people bury the remains, which I guess, again, they would have to go to the cemetery. So I don't know what most people do. I don't know if most people keep the remains or most people bury them.
Well, you know, Scott, I've heard through the grapevine, and boy, what a wonderful line of information that's been going on for years and years. Ever since they've had wine on planet Earth, you know. But the grapevine, a lot of people, they distribute them themselves right out, personally, and by their hands reaching down and sprinkling them. That was their request from maybe their spouse or parents or whatever. I've heard of that going on a lot also.
Yeah, there's a lot of that going on. I don't know. I guess anybody can do anything. But I also know that there are rules that you're not supposed to spread people in certain places. But the truth is, how would anybody know?
Yeah, and you know what? Deep down in my heart, I don't think that would affect worldwide global warming and so on and so forth, and chemicals from plants and stuff coming out into the atmosphere through the emission of the factories and stuff. So that would be a big DVD. Wouldn't be much for me. I'd say I don't know possibly how that could ever affect. That's like the animals taking a leak on Earth. Why, there's a lot of that going on. So you'd have to evaluate ashes burned at a high temperature, bodies burned at a high temperature and turning to ash compared to the deposits left by wild animals and birds. So anyhow, I'll get off it. We could talk forever about any steps you can want.
We could go on all day.
Well, you take care.
You too. Bye bye. All right, again, phone lines are open. I don't know, that's just one of those things that I'm curious about, and I know cremation has become a big thing, but I wonder, do people do cremation because of the financials of it? I always wonder, is that the reason they do it? Because of the lower cost? There's just a lower cost involved with having somebody cremated? I don't know. I really don't know what the difference is. I don't know what the appeal is to being cremated as opposed to being buried. I don't know. But I am curious to know why, in Marion County at least, that the Marion Cemetery is the only cemetery that I ever see with the banners outside that seemingly have discounts. And what does happen when a cemetery runs out of plot space? Do they have to just buy more? If anybody knows the answers to these, I'm a curious person, and that's something I'm curious about. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Give me a buzz. I would love to hear from you this morning. Now, I also wanted to bring up something. I passed by the Del Taco yesterday, and heaven knows we love to talk about the Del Taco here on this station, and I obviously could not get back to where they're doing the construction behind the store, but it does look like they might be extending that parking lot a little. Now, not a whole long way, but maybe a little bit. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, Scott, I have to butt in again, but it's kind of a funny thing. I might as well tell it and then get it off my shoulders. You know, we've lived in the city, Carol and I, for 30 years, and we've lived out here in the county for 30 years. And Carol and I, we get talking, we talk an awful lot anymore. And it's pretty good way to wake up in the morning, go to bed at night or whatever. But she said, you know what, Ted? She said, it ain't going to be long. We're going to go back in the city. And I said, what? And she said, yep, that will be our final resting place. So we had a plot in the Marion Cemetery, I'd say going on over, knocking on the door 40 years, bought and paid for, and all the things, I'm not just saying that bragging or nothing, but bought and paid for, and down to the final thing. A lot of people, and I've messed around with old people all our lives and stuff, and one fella told me, he said, if you want the date put on your tombstone, make sure you get it and get it taken care of. So it's in the contract at the cemetery, and everything at the funeral home and everything, that's all documented. And, you know, a lot of people go around the cemetery and they say, there isn't no final date on that. Well, it costs money. And gee whiz, I don't know what it is now. I bet you it'd be up $500-$600 to get those four-digit numbers put on that tombstone we got. But you know what? It's pretty interesting. If you want anything done, and after you're dead, you can't get much say to you, but the old saying, if you want anything done right, do it yourself. But we've done that, and so hopefully our tombstone will have the date on it. For whoever cares, you know, that's the thing. Whoever cares would like to know. Well, we can't tell you when we died because nobody knows when they died, but take care.
Hey, thank you. Well, hopefully you don't return to the city too soon. That's just a curious question to me, but no, it looks like the Del Taco might be extending that back parking lot a little bit. It doesn't look like it's a whole lot of area back there that they're extending, but a little bit. There are some trucks back there, and maybe they are going to extend that parking lot for the reasons that we've talked about here on the air. So has anybody else noticed that there seems to be some construction machinery back there that is doing some kind of work. Again, it doesn't look like they're extending the parking lot a whole big long distance, but maybe just a little bit. But I will tell you, I also did look yesterday, and the sides of that Del Taco, from the side, the right side, which I guess would be the west side of Del Taco, to Perkins parking lot, and then the east side of Del Taco to the mausoleum, that is very narrow. I don't think that anybody could park on the side and also still operate the drive-thru, which I assume there will be. I think Del Tacos have a drive-thru, but there you go. Any news on any of that, or possibly when Amato's is opening, or is Amato's opening? I just have not been downtown for a little bit of time. 740-383-9944. Give me a buzz. 740-383-9944. Does anybody have the information we are looking for here this morning on WWGH Radio? All right, so we went through that this morning, Del Taco. Oh, this morning, I was coming in, and as many of you know, every morning I stop by the McDonald's out on Route 95 for a large diet, and I don't know what in the world was going on this morning, but there was no line at McDonald's. Virtually no line. And I went there about the same time I normally do, between 7:15 and 7:30. No line at all. And to be honest with you, there was hardly any traffic out this morning. I mean, there was traffic. I mean, it is Route 95, the busiest road here in Marion, but it's not like it normally was. Normally, when I turn out of Meyer parking lot, there's traffic coming from both sides. And it was not like that this morning. I don't know what was going on. Does anybody know if anything is going on today that would cause traffic to be loosened up a little bit? I don't know. 740-383-9944. But I'll tell you, I'm not going to look a gift horse in the mouth. I'm going to say, hey, thank goodness for it. It was a good thing. Okay, does anybody have anything to say about cemeteries versus cremation? Why does the Marion Cemetery advertise discounts when other cemeteries don't? And again, it's nice that they do. I don't think this is a negative, but I've just never seen other cemeteries do that. And I wanted one more day. I want to touch on the lady who used to work over at the BMV. Hopefully you got all your questions answered yesterday from Mary Ellen in regard to why the BMV is better staffed. Now, I do have a little, it's not a pet peeve, but yesterday, and for days now, I've been saying BMV, Bureau of Motor Vehicles, which I think is what it is. And then, yesterday, I noticed a couple people called in and called it the DMV, DMV, like dog. And I thought, well, am I calling the thing the wrong name? Is it not the BMV? B as in bake? So I honestly Googled it because I thought, am I calling it the wrong thing? Is it the DMV? Although I don't know what DMV would stand for, but it is the BMV. I did look it up online. Ohio BMV, Bureau of Motor Vehicles. But what is the DMV? Is there something called the DMV? Is it... I don't know. Does anybody have any answer on that? Because I really had to look that up yesterday. I thought, well, am I calling it the wrong thing? I'm pretty sure it's the BMV. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Getaway Friday, February the 11th, 2022. In regard to that, the lady who used to work at the testing station. This is the final day I'm going to talk about this, so hopefully we do get some answers. But we talked about her earlier in the week, and everybody knew who she was. She was the lady who was probably there in the 80s, 90s, and early 2000s. And people went to other counties to take their driving test because of this woman. Hold on, let me take the call here, and then we'll come back. Go ahead, caller.
Scott Spears, interviewer to the stars.
Yes.
How about this? Nice and slow for our friends.
Yes, happy Friday.
Yes, that it is. When I lived in New York State, they had a DMV, and so when I moved back to Ohio, it was BMV. I just think it depends upon the state. Sometimes different offices, different methods of government, is based upon how it's done there. Like in Louisiana, they have parishes instead of counties. Alaska doesn't have counties. Ohio, we have the villages, the cities. And like New York, they have hamlets, which is like a very small village. But I think it's just the state, you know. There may be a DMV that stands for something else, but...
But what does DMV stand for?
Department of Motor Vehicles instead of Bureau of Motor Vehicles.
Department of Motor Vehicles.
Yeah, that's what New York has, unless they've changed it. But it just depends upon the state. There are some differences. So again, like every state has counties except two of them.
Well, that's interesting.
Yeah, that's it. I wouldn't overthink it. It's just kind of fascinating. And, you know, the reciprocity. But now with everything being computerized, you can kind of find someone's motor vehicle information just with a few keystrokes, or even just, you know, probably talking into a smart device. So that's been my understanding. If there is a DMV, it's something else.
Well, hey.
We have B for Bureau, or I guess maybe Buckeye also. But
no, I guess that's it.
York, it's D.
Well, hey, thanks for the information.
Okay, sorry, I'm not that exciting today, but...
No, that works.
There'll be a wisecrack later if you play Family Feud or something.
Well, we're going to get to it.
All right, thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, I was Department of Motor Vehicles. Well, I guess that makes sense, but apparently here in Ohio, it is called the BMV, Bureau of Motor Vehicles. And I don't know how long that's been going on, but it is. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, Scott.
Yeah.
I might have some information on the Yamatos.
Oh, okay.
We ate lunch down there last Saturday at Delaware.
Right.
And the lady there told us that they're probably going to have some soft openings this month, and then they're going to have a grand opening, I think she said, on the 11th of March.
Oh, really? Coming up on the 11th of March?
Patient she had.
Now, how is Amato's? I've never been to the one in Delaware.
Very good. I think people are really going to like it.
Well, I'm glad to hear. I was never really sure what the two-year hang-up was downtown, but when I saw them looking for employees, I thought, well, this has to be a good sign.
Yeah, the way she talked, it was licensing issues for the beer and liquor license and et cetera. Everything had to be just right for that, so, and I guess everything's good now, so they're ready to go.
You know, and here's something, and I'm not trying to be a downer on this, but we have a lot of good restaurants downtown now. We have the Coney Place.
Right.
We have the Memphis barbecue place. I believe Attaboy's is still down there. And now we're going to have Amato's, and we still have the fish place down at the Harding Hotel. Although when I talked to George Custodis about that, apparently they're not doing very well, but hopefully things happen. How many restaurants can downtown Marion support?
Oh, boy. It's a good question.
Because it seems to me, and I'm glad they're all opening, and maybe they are doing they're doing okay, but it would seem to me that when Amato's opens, that's going to be, you know, that might be the burst for one of these other businesses.
Yeah, I think it will. I think it'll draw people into the area. I think it's kind of like Delaware, you know, with the amount of restaurants they have. But they help each other. You know, it brings the people into town. Hopefully that'll work here.
Yeah, I hope it does. The only thing, like I can say with Amato's, is I think the parking might be the only issue.
Yeah, well, I think... there again, you go to Delaware, and they park somewhere. You know, there's the parking there isn't really a lot better than it is here. But
No, that's for sure. In Delaware, they have the same type of problems. I just wish that there would be some kind of store downtown other than a restaurant where after going to a restaurant, they could go to a store.
Yeah. Well, not sure that's going to happen. But.
we'll hold out hope. But hey, I thank you for the information.
Hey. Talk to you later.
Thank you, too. Bye-bye. March the 12th, possibly, for Amato's, with maybe some soft openings this month. But you know what? And I say this with the parking. If the food is good, people will find a place to park, and they will go in there. Amato's, I don't know. It's a place I think I would probably like to go in. It seems to me like the type of shop that I would like to go in. Now, I'm not saying the others are not places that I would want to go in, but I like the size of that place. I like the area that it's in. I think that might be a success, Amato's, over there downtown. Plus, it's not too far from here, which is even a better thing. 740-383-9944. Any information anybody have this morning on any topic or has, give us a buzz. 740-383-9944. And we are going to do Family Feud because Valentine's Day is right around the corner. I believe it's on Monday. So we're going to have some Valentine's Day Family Feud questions this morning. So you don't want to miss that. But the phone lines are open here. 740-383-9944. And as I was saying, this is the last day I'm going to talk about this woman who used to work at the BMV at the testing station out at the Southland Mall. But the other day, Sean told me that he thought her name might have been Mary. He wasn't totally sure. I'm not sure if her name was Mary. I don't know what her name was. But I'm just curious whatever became of her. Again, it's that curious nature that I have. I wonder whatever became of this woman. And I wonder if she ever knew that people were going to different counties to take their driver's test because she was flunking them. That people had such a build-up worry about this woman. Paranoia that she was going to fail them. And was she really that hard, or was that just a reputation? Now, we did have some calls the other day from people who said that she was difficult. And then we had somebody call in who told us kind of why she was difficult, that maybe there had been somebody who she had passed who had been in an accident and gotten killed, and that stuck with her. I don't know. It's interesting the things we learn. But does anybody know, was her name Mary? Does anybody know what became of her? Because in my own mind, she was not that old. She was probably, I'm going to say in the 90s, she was probably 40s, maybe 50s. So what is that now, 20-something years ago? She might be 60s or 70s now. I think she could be around. I don't think she'd be any older than that. Because I don't think she would have retired until the 2000s. I don't think she would have been old enough. Does anybody know what became of this woman or about what her age would have been? Everybody knows her. She was referred to by a name, which is why we don't know her name. And again, it's just not a polite name, so I don't want to say it on the air. It's nothing profane that we couldn't say on the air. But does anybody know what became of the woman who used to work at the testing station at the Southland Mall, BMV, that everybody was aware of, at least everybody who took a driver's test during that time, all the kids from all the schools? 740-383-9944, and does anybody remember her name being Mary? 740-383-9944, give us a call here on this Friday morning. I just, to me, she's one of those people that just sticks out in your memory because of what the reputation that she built up all those years. And much like I was talking about earlier, I guess last year now, I was talking about Ralph, who used to go, no, not Ralph, Don Fleming, who used to go to the county commissioner meetings and the city council meetings. Now, he's not somebody who you would readily know, but I'll tell you, all the county commissioners, all the city council people were aware of him because he was so bombastic when he would show up at these meetings in town, and it was always so entertaining. And Catwoman is one of those people. You know, she's a little eccentric. And do we have any updates on Catwoman? Did she end up getting rid of her her male cat? Did she ever make it to the vet so she could have her cats fixed? Did she ever get her radio tuned? Sue Millizer or Dolores Millizer, depending on what her name is, whatever she wants to be called. But she's one of those people as well. Just kind of eccentric, fun people. And I don't think eccentric's a bad word. I like eccentric people. So does anybody have any information on these people? The people, Don Fleming or the lady who used to work at the BMV testing station, or Catwoman? An update on Catwoman. Give me a buzz here, 740-383-9944. And you know what? People keep saying, why do you keep calling her Catwoman? Well, because when I say Sue Millizer, nobody knows her name. Go ahead, caller.
Morning, Scott.
Morning. How you doing?
I'm doing okey-doke.
Oh, good.
She did take her cat out to the Humane Society.
So the male cat made it out there.
Yeah. When we delivered food yesterday, she told us that she had taken the male cat and then one of the females that she had out to the Humane Society.
So she's down to one cat now.
I don't know how many she has.
Well, that's good to hear. I'm glad she got that taken care of.
But that's what she told us.
Well, that's good to hear. Well, hey, thanks for the update.
Sure.
All right. Bye-bye. All right. Well, apparently, it was my understanding when we talked to her a couple weeks ago that she had two cats in the house and one cat outside, and she was trying to get rid of the cat outside. That's why she called in. But it sounds as if now she's took the cat from outside and one of the cats from inside to the Humane Society. Did she get her radio tuned? Did she make it to the vet? We don't know. So if anybody has any information on the BMV woman or another update on Sue, if anybody has any further information, or Don Fleming, anybody, give us a buzz. Well, as a matter of fact, we're going to the break here, so think about it during the break and give us a buzz on the other side. 740-383-9944, back in 15, and also have Family Feud coming up.
For your friends and your family, your place is www.